You are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Coming up next is a replay of our Sunday, September 25th Sunday service. Please enjoy and God bless.
We want to welcome everyone this morning as others are gathering in. We pray this morning that this service will be a blessing to each and every one of you. As we are gathering in today, we want to welcome those that are listening by radio on 89.1 FM. And we pray as you're listening that the Lord will minister to you and bless you in so many ways. Pastor Raph is going to come and just open up our service this morning. It's nowhere to be found. If we could find a seat this morning, we want to begin. If you can find a seat, I know we just love fellowshipping with each other. We know that it's so exciting to see each other on a Sunday morning.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the service this morning. We're pleased that you could join us and those listening by radio. Thank you for tuning in. Well, I just want to remind you, in case you forgot, it's about Jesus. Okay? It's not about performance. It's not about how good we look. No, surprise. Hey, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and the blood of Christ washed my sin away. It's about Him. It's about communing with Him. It's about worshiping Him. We come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation? For in Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him." Amen. "And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, His church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. He is the first and the last. For in Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself." Say all things.
All things,
all things to Himself. Hallelujah. "Having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven." It's all about Him. And we've come to be His church, to worship Him today, and hopefully to be changed. That through Pastor Dave today and the word that he has to share, and through this worship time, we're going to be changed. Let's have anticipation together. Let's be excited. Let's be exuberant in our worship today. Let's pray. That was not that great. Let's do it again. Okay. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your goodness this morning. We thank You that You are God and that You, Lord Jesus, are the preeminent one. It's all about You. You are the head of the church. So, Lord, help us to lay down the things that hinder our worship. Help us to lay down our burdens at the cross, and that we would commune with You. in a fresh new way today, Lord. We pray as well, just as we're talking about koinonia, we're talking about community, communing with you. May that continue on after the service as we meet together and have fellowship together. Oh Lord, we pray that you would just pour out your Spirit upon us, that you would be glorified, that you would reign supreme in our lives, in your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand and let's praise the Lord this morning.
Let's just pray.
Resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We praise and glorify your name, and all your wondrous works proclaim. All our hope is in you.
Beautiful beyond.
chosen generation that will march through the land. All of creation is longing for your unfailing power. Would you release your
seated this morning. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for leading us this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. I want to let the children, all the little ones, 11 and under, if they can make their way to children's church, then you can do so at this time. All the little ones can make their way to children's church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'm going to be dealing with verses 5 to 11. Verses 5 to 11. I want to share for a few moments on God, the righteous judge. How many know there's a lot of judgments coming down in this hour from our courts that I would have to say are unjust? But God never makes an unjust judgment. Whatever God decides is always right, pure and holy. And here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're dealing with a group of people that have been under persecution, that are going through a time of suffering. And friends, let me tell you this morning, when you read the New Testament, it's hard to avoid the subject of suffering. And as Christians here in North America, we've had a pretty good run. But many in our world today are suffering persecution and are going through times of great difficulty. And perhaps that is going to come to us here in North America. It's already begun, if I could say that this morning. Father, I just want to thank you for your word today. I pray, O God, that you would speak to us today. Clearly, we would hear your voice. Without a shadow of a doubt, we would hear you speaking to us today in the name of Jesus. Lord, that our hearts would be softened by the ministry of your word, that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in this hour. Oh God, we need you. If there's ever been a time that we need you, it's right now. This very moment, we need God in the church. We need God in our lives. And Father, I'm going to ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 5. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment. God was in his righteousness allowing these believers to go through a time of persecution and suffering. The fact that they were standing up so bravely under the persecutions and afflictions was an indication of the righteous dealings of God. He was supporting them. He was strengthening them. He was encouraging them. The Bible says here, so that you will be considered worthy. Think about it this morning. Worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. You know, it's hard for us to comprehend this morning. It's hard for us as believers to understand what it is to go through intense persecution for our faith. But friends, I want to declare this morning, it's coming. It's going to intensify. The Bible even now is being hated. It's referred to in some cases as hate literature. Come on, it's the truth. But these early believers, their focus was not on personal comfort. Their focus was not on fulfillment or happiness. You know, today in the church, we give these little messages to try to make people feel happy. How many know that's not the job of the Holy Spirit, and it's not the work of God's Word to make us happy? It's to cause us to draw near to God and to give our lives fully to Him. Hallelujah. This soft gospel that's being preached in many of our churches is not preparing the people for what's coming. And when things get shaken, look at the hurricane that just took place. Actually, where I grew up in New Brunswick, that hurricane coming and devastating parts of Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, where Gene and I pastored for many years along the south shore of Nova Scotia. We don't know what's going to happen next, so we need now to be prepared for what's coming. The focus of the early church was not on personal comfort, fulfillment, and happiness, but on the glory of God and the fulfillment of His purposes. What God wanted. It's almost like it's a choice today in the church. Well, it's optional. It's not optional. It's not optional this morning to choose to fully give your life to Jesus Christ, to offer yourself on the altar of sacrifice. And let me say something this morning about those who were suffering during this time period that this book was written. They were not murmuring about the injustice of their persecutors. They were thrilled, full of joy to suffer for His name's sake. Oh, Lord, there's so much murmuring, isn't there? Verse 6 says, since it is right for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, there is going to come a judgment day. When people persecute us, we have to leave it with God. You know, that's tough to do. When people are railing against the church. You know, when we stayed open, when everything else was closed, and we had people stand outside of the church railing against us because we were open. But we have to love those who persecute us. Even on a personal level. Are you hearing me? They might not persecute us as a church, but they might persecute you because you have decided to serve Jesus. Because what you believe goes counterculture to what is believed on in the world and in our nation. But God is the great repayer, the justifier, the judge. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Never take your own revenge. Oh, but don't you desire to sometimes? Come on, let's be honest for a moment. Let's take the halos off and the religious garb and set it aside for just a moment. And be honest this morning. Sometimes we want a payback. Right now, she says. Right now. But the Bible says in verse 19 of Romans chapter 12, never, 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 I can't get any more emphatic than that, never take your own revenge. Instead, the Bible says, leave room for the wrath of God. Now let's just talk about that for a minute. Because the world doesn't have a really good understanding of who God is. And sometimes the church doesn't either. Did you know that God gets angry? There is a wrathful side to the character of God against sin. Did you know that even in our day, we are facing the judgments of God against this nation for allowing abortion to go on and on and on and on? The murdering of life in the womb. I'm not going to whitewash it this morning because that's what it is. It's murder. And the interesting part of this whole story is there's so many families in Canada that cannot have children who want to adopt. And our own government, I call it a regime. I don't call it a government anymore. It's a regime of Prime Minister Trudeau. Is somehow castigating those who would want to save a life in the womb as unhonest, deceitful. We have to leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Listen to me. That's just the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible this morning. I'm not making this stuff up. The Bible says very clearly, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now that's a nice promise that you could wake up to every morning. Pull it out and quote it. Says the Lord. But look at verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, let him starve. If he is thirsty, let him go without water. Now that's not what it says. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Oh, that's not easy to do, folks. That is the grace of God working in our life. If you want to know if you're growing in the Lord, ask yourself, are you able to feed your enemy? If you're able to feed your enemy who is persecuting you and lying against you and being deceitful towards you, if you can still feed them with the love of Jesus, you're growing in your walk with God. Hallelujah. That's what pure religion is. Isn't that what the Bible says? We measure our growth in so many distorted ways. If he is thirsty, give him a drink and don't add anything to it. Like that woman that was adding a little bit to her husband's drink every day to try to kill him. No, give him the best water in the house. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, God. Can I read that again? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let God repay. Even if you're afflicted, persecuted, let God do His work. You know, again, that's not easy to do. You need God to do it. Verse 7, and give rest to you who are afflicted, and to us as well at the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get into eschatology this morning, but let me just say that Jesus is coming soon. I still believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to see Him, hallelujah. And we shall be changed in a moment of time. Glory to God. The revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a warrior. The first aspect of this revealing occurs at the end of the seven-year tribulation. The final universal revelation of Christ as judge occurs at the great white throne judgment following Christ's millennial reign on earth. But we shall see Him. Are you hungering for that day when you shall see Him? Hallelujah. You shall behold His glory. Hallelujah. You shall walk with Him on streets of gold. Look at verse 8. Executing vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. This vengeance literally means to give full punishment. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I still believe in hell. As a church, as the church, we don't talk much about hell. People use the word frequently in movies and on TV. But I want to declare from this pulpit this morning that there is a literal hell. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's where you're heading. You say, well, I'm a good person. I haven't robbed any banks that I can think of. It's not the goodness. It's not your goodness that's going to get you into heaven. It's your full confidence and faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who reject Christ, verse 9 says, will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. I want you to think about that this morning. Some people I ask, well, I'm not sure. Some people will say, well, you know, I'm just depending. Well, maybe. This morning, If you're born of the Spirit of God, the Spirit within you bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of the living God. No one can take that from you. There's a deep sense within you that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. No, you're not perfect, but you're relying on His righteousness. Glory to God. Can somebody shout amen this morning? You know, there's going to be a lot of severely disappointed people on that day. Because they'll say, well, I grew up in a Christian home. My mother was a Christian. My father was a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to make your own choice, your own decision. Paul explained the duration and extent of what elsewhere in Scripture is called hell. First, it is forever. Thus, it is not a reversible experience. Second, destruction means ruin and does not involve annihilation. You know, there's a doctrine out there. There's a doctrine out there. You're waiting for the end, right? And they say that on that judgment day, the wicked will be judged and then annihilated. They will cease to exist. Friends, when you were born, you were given a spirit. Are you hearing me? And that spirit will never die. And it will end up in one of two places, either heaven or hell. You say, well, why would God send anybody to hell? What kind of a God is that? God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to go to hell by rejecting Christ. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, primarily for the devil and his angels. God wants none to perish, but all to come to righteousness and salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, I hear this all the time. You know, maybe someday I'll make things right. You know, I'm just not ready right now. I've got too many things to do and too many places to go. I'll wait on that. Friends, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make things right with God. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know if you'll have a breath in your lungs tomorrow. It's only God's grace that gives us that breath. Hallelujah. Thank God for His grace this morning. Doesn't involve annihilations, but a new state of conscious being where the worm does not die. And that memory will be with you forever. Every opportunity you had to make things right with God, and you rejected it. And that person will be in hell, lifting up their eyes and remembering every opportunity that they had to make things right with God. That's why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching this morning. I could just give you a little message and send you on your way, but I'm here to declare the truth of God's word without favor. Are you hearing me this morning? It's described as the absence of God's presence in glory. You know, in this earth, God's presence is everywhere. But in hell, He'll be nowhere to be found. Verse 10, and when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day, and to be marveled among all who have believed. Oh, what a day that's going to be. When my Jesus I shall see. when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Hallelujah. To this end, verse 11 says, we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill all your good pleasure for goodness and the work of faith with power. Living up to your calling to salvation with lives marked with goodness, powerful works, and faith. So that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified. Just as I come to the end of this message this morning, I want to emphasize today that our life lived on this earth can bring glory and honor unto God. Can I say it again? Our life lived on this earth can bring glory and honor unto God. To be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, as I come to the end of this message, you know, why do we witness? Why do we spend so much time on the radio sharing the gospel? Because we don't want people to be lost. We want them to enjoy what we enjoy. We want them to experience what we've experienced. Oh, I know there's some bad days and there's some good days. But I want to say this morning, there's more good days than there are bad days when you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's with you in all things. Praise the Lord. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. It doesn't matter what the government has up their sleeve. God is way ahead of them in his wisdom and his power and his might. But when persecution does come and intensifies, we have to leave it with God. We have to trust him. And we have to keep exuding the goodness of God in the land of the living. Will you bow your heads this morning? Every head is bowed. No one is moving around except for the worship team. You're here in this place for such a time as this. This is the moment in eternity to assess your spiritual condition. Am I right with God? Have I committed my life to Jesus Christ? Have I surrendered myself to the Lord? If you're here this morning and you haven't done that, today's the day to do it. The Holy Spirit is here in this house to draw you unto salvation. Is there anyone here that would slip up their hand and say, just pray for me? I need prayer this morning. Is there anyone? Yes. Anyone else that would just slip up their hand? Yes. 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 Is there anyone else? Yes. Yes. I see a lot of hands going up this morning. Anyone else? Yes. There's a lot of hands that have gone up this morning. And we are here in this room today to make things right with God. To get things right with God. In the name of Jesus. We can't wonder. We have to have that assurance in our spirit that we are right with God. Not perfect. None of us are perfect. We make mistakes. We sin. We have to ask for forgiveness. We get back up. We fall down. But there's still that assurance within us that we've given our lives over to Jesus Christ. There's the working of His Spirit within us. Father, I pray for every hand that went up this morning. Lord, I just encourage them just to pray right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I've gone in the wrong direction. I want to go your way. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Come in to my heart. Come into my heart and change me and transform me and give me that assurance that I need. If you prayed that prayer in your seat today, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. Father, I just pray for your people this morning as things intensify. Lord, that we would not give up on our faith as some have done. Lord, they've just gave up. Help us not to do that, Lord. Help us to persevere. And to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Can you give God thanks this morning for His Word? I heard through the grapevine, whatever the grapevine is, that the Canadian border is going to open on the 30th of September. It will. We're praying that the U.S. border will also open up to those that are unvaccinated. Yes. Or you're just saying yes. Okay. Brother Russ is saying yes, it's going to happen. We want to thank those that have been listening by radio. We pray a blessing upon them.
Thank you for tuning in to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. I want to see you next Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship. Service starts at 10:30. See you then.